The Monty Show, Tuesday, July 31st, the last day of July. And Jake, I should probably tell everybody, I just had an awesome interaction on the phone with a solicitor. Would solicitor be the right way to say it?
Yeah, I mean, that's one description.
Yeah. Don't call me if you're a solicitor. It doesn't usually end well. But we're here to talk about sports. The MLB trade deadline happened today, and, well, frankly, the Padres let me down, which is fine. We'll talk about that. We got to talk about the Nationals. We got to talk about another pitcher, not even a, not a superstar pitcher. But I guess it doesn't matter because he had to go home with hand, foot, and mouth disease. Another one.
Winter has come.
It's unbelievable. Another pitcher has it. The Astros, I think, made a huge mistake. We got to talk about the new Laker jerseys. The LeBron 16s are coming out. I don't have any idea if Kendall's actually going to be able to take control of the company on Succession. We saw Mission Impossible. We played a lot of Fortnite, and some guy let his dog crap on my lawn today, and we almost threw down over it. It's going to be a lit show. You don't want to go anywhere.
Yeah.
And you want to find me on the iHeartRadio app. I love this song. Just search The Monty Show. M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show, wherever you get your podcast from. We're everywhere. We are on Stitcher, Google Play, iTunes, SoundCloud, like wherever you get podcast thing.
That thing we do, you know.
I'm a little fired up today. I should
remember pressure points.
Pressure points. Okay, so let's start the show with the dog crapping story, because this I enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Much like a lot of trade deadline teams, a dog took a crap on my lawn today. So I walk out the front door, and there is a dog popping a squat on my lawn. The good news is, well, it had a leash on, and it was attached to its owner.
Oh, great.
The bad news is his owner was a hipster who was on his phone via, you know, like he was on an iPhone, so he had like the wired pods in. And, he finished taking a dump on the front lawn, and then they started walking away. So naturally, me being me,
inner you came out.
Me to me, I said, "Hey!" And he turns to me because I'm yelling at him. I literally said, "Hey, you're gonna clean that up?"
No.
He turns to me and gives me the universal sign for one of two things: either shaka bra, or hey, I'm on the phone. Like, and he looked at me through his aviator sunglasses. He had, like, nice Ray-Ban sunglasses. And he's like, "Hey, I'm on the phone," like, waving his hand. And I yelled at him. I said, "I don't care. You got to pick that up." And he keeps walking away. And so I started walking towards him. And I said to him, "Hey, I'll call the cops, because I don't care. And you got to pick it up." And so finally, in a huff, he says, "Just hang on a second," to the person on the phone. And he puts the call on mute. And I don't remember exactly what he said, but he said, "I'm trying to talk on the phone." And I said, "You need to clean that up. That's a violation of an ordinance, right?" I said, "You need to clean that up." "Well, I don't have a bag." And he starts to turn again. And I said, "I don't care if you don't have a bag. Use your hand." And so in a huff, he pulled out a piece of paper from his pocket. I don't know what was on that paper.
Don't matter now.
But he unfolded it, reached down, and picked it up. And then was like held it out. And I think he contemplated throwing it at me. Because my truck was right there on the driveway. I think he contemplated throwing it at me or the truck. And then he turned and started walking away and hit mute again. Started talking and threw it in my neighbor's garbage can because today's garbage day. Threw it in the neighbor's garbage can and just kept walking. And if I had had a gun with me, I wouldn't have killed him. But I would have thought about it. Because that is really frustrating to me. That was the hipster frustration moment.
Uh-huh.
At its finest.
Yeah.
And then right before the show started, Right? We're ready. We're locked in. We're in full prep mode.
We're feeling the vibes.
We're like, yeah, ready to do this.
Right.
The phone rings.
Oh, God.
And it's a number I don't recognize, a local number that I don't recognize. So I answer it.
Hello. And
hello, which is how I answer the call when I don't recognize a number. I literally do the hello.
Hi, is this Eoin?
So my first name, for those of you who don't know, is Owen. E-O-I-N is my first name.
How the hell is that, Owen?
Ask the Irish, because it's Irish. I found that out when I went to Dublin. For my entire life, I've been pronouncing it Ian, and it's Owen. Anyway, so every time I answer a call from a number I don't know, the inevitable happens. Hi, yeah, is this Eoin? Because my name is spelled E-O-I-N, right?
Eoin is your best attempt.
My legal first name is E-O-I-N.
Who thinks that's a good name?
I don't
know. Because seriously, this is E-O-I-N, so let's go Eoin.
Yeah. Yeah. Dick. Anyway, my parents are terrible people. Anyway, point is this. Listen. Hi, yes, is this Eoin? And I'm like, yes, who's
maybe.
This? Maybe. And so it turns out it's my home security company, who I spent 2 hours with on the phone yesterday.
Oh, joy.
Because I've had this home security system, which will remain nameless, right? Just think Utah Jazz. Anyway, point is, it'll remain nameless.
How are you going to say it's nameless after that?
Whatever. So they called me yesterday, and they're like, hi, yeah, we're going to have to disconnect your services. You haven't made a payment in 6 months, and you owe us for one of the cameras on the front of your house. And I said to him, well, actually, you know, my payment's on auto pay. The $52 a month I pay you every month is on auto pay. And the camera was free because you put a hole in my wall. You agreed to give it to me for free. Oh, let me check the notes. Puts me on hold for like 10 minutes. And so at this point, it's no longer funny. Comes back, he's like, we don't see any payments at all. We're going to need you to fax us a bank statement. And I said to him, I'm not faxing you my bank statement, man. I've paid you every month. It's on auto pay. And you can do the research on your end. Or he goes, well, we're going to have to disconnect the services today. I said, okay, great. Let's do it. And I think that caught him by surprise.
Yeah.
Because I've had nothing but trouble with this security company.
Well, doesn't that catch every telemarketer by surprise, right? Like when somebody calls you and they're like, hey, you got to pay or I'm going to disconnect your service. Okay, great. Do it.
Well, I pay everything on autopay, so I never miss payments. Like I take my credit score really seriously. So, point is, it's on autopay. And I told him that. And I said, okay, well, great. Let's disconnect my service then. And he's like, whoa, let's try to resolve this. And I said, I laid him out. I said, you guys have been terrible to deal with. Like, the security system works perfectly. But you guys have been terrible to deal with. Like, this camera that they installed 6 weeks ago.
Awful.
Was supposed to be installed when they installed it. But the guy who came out to install it, this is like his third ever install. He totally botched it, didn't have a camera. The camera he did install on the front of the garage, he put a huge hole in the wall that they had to come out and patch. And like, it was just the whole thing. He fell off a ladder in my bathroom. Like, the whole thing was terrible. It was, they shorted out my doorbell. Cause and it wound up like kicking the circuit breakers off in half my house. Like, it was just this whole problem. And so this camera finally comes in, and they never call me to say, hey, your camera's in, we're ready to install it. No, my house gets robbed. So I call them, and I'm like, hey, guys, the camera that's supposed to be out front, that's the blind spot, and so we don't know who did the robbing. Couldn't get him on camera. Oh, we'll be out there tomorrow. The cameras are in. They come out. The guy has to come back like 3 days later to fix the wiring. This guy literally puts the camera on the front of my house and leaves a loop of cable hanging down the front of my house.
Looks
has
good.
To come back and fix it. Anyway, point is, one thing led to another. I was on the phone with this particular Jazz-affiliated security company, and they figured out that, oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I had been... I had been talking to an account before yours. And so I was toggling back and forth between two screens looking at equipment. I had been looking at the wrong account.
Right.
And so, yeah, your account's not past due. We resolved it. I have a zero balance, as I always have had. We get off the phone. Okay, fine. I'm pissed for 10 minutes, but it's over. We're about to do the show. These guys call me from a masked number. Because I don't have a San Diego a 619 number. I don't have, like, I have an old Sacramento area code. So this company that's based in Utah calls me from a Sacramento number. And so I answer it, and they tell me, hey, this is the Jazz-affiliated security company.
They said it just like that, too.
And no, they actually didn't say it. I just don't want to, you know, I don't want to give away who I'm talking about in the Jazz-affiliated security company. Yeah. Anyway, point is, listen, hey, he's like, I don't know why I'm calling you. And I said, he goes, it's an auto dialer. And I said, right, but why are you calling me? And he's like, well, I'm in collections, but you have a zero balance. It's an auto dialer. And it's just like, I've had enough. Like, you've completely, oh, man, I value my time. So I can't, a pet peeve of mine, and I know I've spent 11 and a half minutes on this, and I'm going to get to the trade deadline in a second. If you waste my time, you're pretty well dead to me. I hate when people waste my time. And these guys have wasted my time for 6 months. It's their system is great. Their customer service is horrendous.
Yeah.
I mean, really bad.
Yeah.
Really, really bad. Yeah. And then a guy crapped on my lawn today, and, you know.
So you were in a good mood.
It's fine. It didn't actually ruin my day. It was very early in the day that the crapping on the lawn issue happened. So, but he was like hipster. And, you know, can we talk about hipster dress real quick? Just, and then I promise we'll talk MLB trade deadline. Just if you're going to wear a medium button-up camp shirt, he had on a green striped shirt. You know the small checkerboard shirts of green and white?
Yeah.
Like it's green stripes, but it's white squares.
Yeah.
It looks like a picnic table cover, yeah. Green and white. And fuchsia shorts. And I thought of you, Jake, because you texted me the word fuchsia the other day, I think you were something. But I thought to myself, Jake could say those are fuchsia shorts. And then he had on his Jesus walk sandals. And I was like, come on. Come on. Come on. Like, bro, did you look at this outfit before you left?
Bro, we get it. You're on your shame walk with your dog.
And you had on your Tom Cruise Top Gun Ray-Ban aviator sunglasses. With your headphones in, talking on the phone, walking your dog, not cleaning up after it. Like, who dresses like that? The only thing that would have made that outfit better is if he'd have had on one of those, like, leather, like, weave, you know, like, braided belts and some dock, like, boat shoes with no socks.
Mm-hmm.
Get out of here, hipsters. Would you consider yourself a hipster?
No.
You tend to wear a size too small clothing.
Do I, though?
Yeah, or you've gained a lot of weight, and I don't think that's the case.
I don't think I wear too small clothes.
Yeah, you got that booty in your dress pants, dude. I mean,
yeah. What's wrong with that?
Well, got a badunkadunk. Anyway, how's your big time recruiting job going?
It's going great,
man.
I
don't care.
Okay.
I'm on one today.
I know, I can tell.
You know what it is? I got too much sleep. That's what it is. Anyway, all right. Can we talk baseball? Fine. Will you get off me so we can talk some baseball?
I've said like 20 words the whole show.
That's true. That's true. Periscope used to, when we used to do this show before you decided to be a jerk and get a real job, on Periscope, people used to say, well, you talk, the guy in the red headphones talks too much. Too bad. It's not the Jake show, it's the Monty show. I'm kidding. MLB trade deadline. I say to you, Jake, MLB trade deadline 2018, what will you remember?
Bryce Harper didn't go anywhere. And wow, really? That's what I'll remember because I think there was an opportunity. Right, there was a huge opportunity for Bryce to go somewhere and completely rewrite his legacy, mm-hmm. and it didn't happen. And I think I have huge questions about Dave Martinez's ability to lead that team. I think, I think it was last week you were talking about how, you know, do we believe in Joe Madden, and Dave Martinez is a Joe Madden guy.
He's a Joe Madden disciple. It was his bench.
You know, I think I don't know. I think that Nationals clubhouse is struggling with. is still struggling with the Dusty Baker firing. You're right about that. I mean, we were talking about that before, and it, you know, it's a legit point. I mean, he probably shouldn't have been fired, but again, he's not a winning manager, so I get it. You know, and the most successful teams, it seems nowadays, have younger managers, right? Like relatively younger managers. Yeah. So I don't know.
A lot of them, dude. Like Craig Counsell comes to mind. Yeah. In Milwaukee. You know, dude. They're in LA. Tonight.
But like Craig Counsell's a perfect example. Guy who flies way under the radar. Like you, like I guarantee you most baseball fans wouldn't pull that.
Green in San Diego.
Yeah.
Matheny in St. Louis before he got whacked.
Yeah. You know. I think some of the better teams, some of the you know good teams have young managers, and so I think Astros. I don't know. Yeah, the Astros.
Dave Roberts
exactly.
With the Dodgers. I mean,
yeah, like, there's a lot. There's a long list.
Yeah.
So I don't know. For me, what I'll remember, there were some moves, but I think, you know, the first thing I remember is Bryce didn't go anywhere, and the second thing I remember is the Cubs didn't really do anything. In my opinion, they didn't do what they needed to do, and I think this really solidifies the idea that you are going to rely on Yu Darvish to come back.
He threw 35 pitches in a bullpen today. And after Alex Rodriguez, did you hear about this? I know you hate the Cubs, but Alex Rodriguez over the weekend on Sunday Night Baseball, it was Cubs and Cardinals. Alex Rodriguez essentially said that there's issues in the clubhouse and players are disappointed in Yu Darvish. And that he's a guy that's been a huge disappointment. And that Tyler Chatwood, who, by the way, lost his spot in the rotation this week, he's now in the bullpen. That guys don't believe in Tyler Chatwood. And it kind of lit the world on fire for a couple of days here. And what do you know? Yu Darvish comes out, throws a bullpen, and says he feels great, perfect. 35 pitches, perfect. After Alex Rodriguez called him soft and said his teammates are disappointed in him. All of a sudden, Yu Darvish is healthy.
Yeah.
We'll see. If indeed he is, now you're cooking with gas. If Yu Darvish even comes back to the guy he was for the Dodgers last year, I don't need Texas Rangers. I just need LA Dodger Yu Darvish.
Yeah,
you know, like because if you get Darvish and Hamels together, that's a nice little pickup for a rotation that's really struggled all year.
Yeah,
you know, because now you're Lester, who lost in Pittsburgh tonight, by the way, and I don't know what's wrong with him lately. He's been so up and down. He's either great or just straight mediocre. You get Lester, you get Hendricks, who last time out was fantastic, Sunday Night Baseball.
Finally got the two-seamer back.
Yeah, Quintana is your third, and then your Yu Darvish and Cole Hamels. That's a nice way to kind of round out your rotation. Now, when you get to the postseason, you have to pick your three best pitchers.
Yeah,
and right now, I don't know that Quintana's in that mix.
No, I don't know that anybody's guaranteed to be in that mix besides John Lester. I think you have to. He's an automatic shoo-in. Yeah. I think everybody's going to have to earn their spot down the line because. Well,
and Brandon Kinsler's a nice pickup for the Cubs. I mean, yeah. If they needed a back end of the bullpen arm, so I think that's a decent move for them.
But I think you know for the Cubs, I think they did well without you know making a huge splash move because the Cole Hamels deal was a good deal, but it wasn't like a blockbuster deal. But overall, I still feel like they should have probably done more. They should have had that splash deal if they were serious about. Going out and being a serious contender against the Dodgers, who are now easily the favorite in the National League, in my opinion. But we'll see. We'll see.
I think their best pickup so far has pretty clearly been Jesse Chavez. He's given them good innings out of the bullpen. Now we'll see tomorrow night when Cole Hamels pitches for them in Pittsburgh. I think that could be interesting. But I think the Cubs are a story. I don't think there's any doubt in my mind that the Tampa Bay Rays won the trade deadline. And I say that because they got a haul for Chris Archer. You know, they got Tommy Pham, which I think is a nice pickup for their future in the outfield. That St. Louis situation is toxic as hell. Like, I mean, it is. There's just something wrong there.
Yeah.
And I think it's – I know chemistry is not something that you can put your finger on. Necessarily, you can't hold it in your hands, but – the chemistry that Mike Matheny allowed to grow like a fungus on the walls in that locker room, in that clubhouse, rather, I think really damaged that team.
Yeah.
And whether it's the pitching staff that's kind of sputtering, you know, this Tommy Pham thing,
It's just a weird dynamic this year.
You fire Matheny, you trade Tommy Pham, who had been a head case pretty much for the entire season.
A contributor, though.
Yeah, he gives Tampa legitimate juice. And you know what? Tampa's kind of done it the right way. You talk about additions, it's a guy that you know well from high school. Jake Bowers has been nothing short of a revelation for them. He has really come up. He's playing first base. He's position flexible. He's played both left and right for them. He's played first base. And as a prospect, he's hitting at another home run tonight. Like, Tampa's future looks really good.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at this haul that they got, I mean, they traded away Chris Archer and Johnny Venters and Eovaldi. And, like, they traded away some decently talented guys and got big-time prospects. And, by the way, the Archer player to be named later is probably a major league caliber player, because that's the agreement that they have for that player to be named later. They got a haul for Chris Archer.
Yeah.
And I think the Rays, I think they won the trade deadline. They have almost no payroll due now because of all the big names that they've traded. I really like what they did. I wish that they would get their stadium situation figured out, because Joe Maddon proved you can go down there and win.
Yeah, I mean, he did. He proved you can win, but I also think, you know, I don't know. That team's going to have to really win and show people that they're a winning club to get people in the seats, and yeah. I think that's their biggest fight.
Well, and if you get a new stadium, that tends to happen.
Yeah.
Because the owner will spend a little more money, and a lot more money, because they don't spend any money on talent. But I think that will definitely be interesting. The Dodgers certainly have to be in the conversation for winners and losers. The Manny Machado trade obviously was a big flipping deal.
Immediate benefits for them.
But now Brian Dozier's coming. I don't really understand the John Axford thing, because I don't think you can trust him. I wouldn't want John Axford pitching for me in the eighth or ninth. Certainly with Jansen there, his chances of pitching in the ninth are slim. But Jansen, the next time Jansen gets a four or five out save will not be the first time.
Nope.
So now you're talking about him pitching in the sixth or seventh. Okay, I guess I could deal with that. But he's not the same guy that he was. But they gave up a ton to get Dozier and Machado. They need to win now. And Clayton Kershaw, he's got to stay healthy, because they're always going to be chasing pitching.
Yeah, I like where their team is at now. I think the Dozier deal solidifies them. Yeah, I agree. You could always have more pitching, but if your biggest problem is Kershaw, I think you're in decent shape. I agree. I mean, I think their bullpen has always been suspect. If you can be beating them and avoid Jansen, you're in great shape.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you avoid Jansen against the Dodgers, you legitimately have a chance to own them. But if it gets to Jansen, it's over.
Yeah, and then there's the Yankees, who get two of the better pitchers on the market in Lance Lynn and Jay Happ. Jay Happ and Zach Britton, and throw in Lance Lynn. But how about Jay Happ today coming down with hand, foot, and mouth disease?
How is this even possible?
What is going on in New York that you have Noah Syndergaard and now Jay Happ, two different teams in two different boroughs, that now have hand, foot, and mouth disease? And Jay Happ's going to be out for weeks at this point, which really sucks for them. But, I mean, you still have to really like the move to improve the team the way that the Yankees did. Brian Cashman, I still think he's the best executive in baseball. And, oh, by the way, you throw in $2.75 million in international bonus money. That's a great trade deadline for them.
Yeah, this just goes back to what I was saying when we had our epic little meltdown on, the injury to what's-his-face. Their hitter, can't remember his name, Aaron Judge. Solidify that. I mean, they're in fine shape. I mean, it's going to be competitive the whole way with the Red Sox. I mean, I think it's tough sledding either way, but this just solidifies it. I mean, if you're playing five-inning games and your bullpen takes it home for you every time, I mean, you're in great shape.
How about the Sox? I love the Ian Kinsler move. I mean, that's nice.
Now he gets to prove himself. You're not playing for a nobody team anymore, man.
What do you make of the Diamondbacks? Because they split the baby. Jake Diekman is a good pickup. Brad Ziegler is a friend of the family.
That's just a legacy pickup.
But he has been a decent late inning pitcher this year. Eduardo Escobar, okay, that's fine. Matt Andrews, okay, that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, it's just okay. It's a very, I hate hating on them, but it is a very Diamondback thing to do. Like, you just did an okay move. Yeah. Like, it's not some great move. You didn't make any splash news. Like, you just went out and added some guys, which is fine. I get it.
Yeah, but it's not the J.D. Martinez move of a year ago.
No, not even close.
So
not even close.
I think we probably agree this is the Dodgers division.
Yeah. Especially, I mean, yeah, it's the Dodgers division. I think you were right on when you said it was the Dodgers division the whole time, but I do think this will settle Diamondbacks fans down.
But that bullpen is probably now one of the top three bullpens in baseball in Arizona. That is a legit bullpen. Boxberger's been better than anybody thought he would be.
Awful lately, though.
Like every closer, he's prone to have one here and there. But their bullpen is going to be awfully difficult to beat. And if I still think the X factor is Zach Greinke for the Diamondbacks. Because if Zach Greinke continues to throw that slider at the shin, he's unhittable. Because his fastball and his slider work incredibly well together. The fastball is great located. His slider is... there's not a whole lot of other sliders in baseball I'd take over Zach Greinke's. That thing is amazing. When he's throwing a 12-6 slider, he throws different sliders too. Like, I love it. I think if the starting rotation can stay together, De La Rosa got released today. I mean, there's a lot of goodness happening in that bullpen. The rotation's got to stay together, and obviously they're going to keep hitting, which they will.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, this is the Dodgers division.
Easily.
I mean, not to be a jerk about it, but I think this is the Dodgers division. I do want to talk about the Washington Nationals. You brought up Bryce Harper earlier. They scored 25 runs today. Okay, they don't do anything at the deadline, essentially. They trade Kinsler. Okay, they didn't trade Bryce Harper. They didn't trade Murph. They didn't trade any of their core players. They came out and scored 25 runs tonight. Is that coincidental? Is that accidental?
I just think it just shows what they're capable of doing. You know, again, they're still a talented team, but no matter how much talent you have, you're not going to overcome, you know, clubhouse issues. I mean, if you have issues in the clubhouse, it's going to tear you down.
I think this really could be, and Mike Rizzo, the general manager of the Nats, came out and said, I believe in this roster, and I'm not tearing it down. I think the learners want to win. I think everybody's well aware that Bryce is not going to go back there. And they scored 25 runs tonight. And I think it's quite a remarkable performance. And, yeah, it was against Steven Matz and the Mets. But they knocked Matz out in the first inning and scored 7 runs doing it. They had a 7-run, a 6-run, and 2 3-run innings. Like, that's, you just don't hear that. And you have the unbelievable numbers in that lineup where you have Turner going 4-for-6 with 3 runs and Rendon back in the lineup off of paternity leave, you know, 3 hits. It's an unbelievable thing. Like, Zimmerman becomes the all-time leading hitter in franchise history. Tonight was this unbelievable night. How difficult is it to keep that going?
It's really difficult. I think you have to be very consistent. You can't fall off. You can't have off days. They're in the same position the Cubs are in. I mean, they got to win, and they got to win a lot. You know, and the only difference is that the Cubs aren't trailing by 5 games or whatever it is now. You know, like, they're not. So that's what I'm saying. I think the Nats are capable of doing it, but they're going to have to play awfully good baseball, man.
By the way, Jose Reyes pitched in this game for the Mets. Do you think he did well or did he do poorly?
Probably well.
1 inning, 5 hits, 6 earned, 2 walks, no Ks, 2 bombs.
Great.
That's not good. That's not good at all. Mark Reynolds got him, and Adams got him, and then Defoe tripled off him. Like, they lit him up. Can we please stop pitching position players?
Why?
I know I kind of had
why is this
meltdown
an issue?
Last week. I hate it.
Why?
Because I'm an old man. I'm a stick in the mud. What do you want
from
me?
How are you a stick in the mud about this? Why would you burn your bullpen out in a game that doesn't matter?
I hate it. Because maybe it's more of a Cub thing. They think it's cute. Hey, by the way, you're fighting for your life in the NL Central. Your biggest competitor, the Milwaukee Brewers, made moves at the deadline. You did not. Essentially, you did not. And I'm tired of seeing position players pitching for the Cubs, you know? I don't know. Maybe we should just never talk Cubs on this show again. Because it grinds my gears. There, I said it. It grinds my gears.
Yeah, I get it.
That's
a
great
line. I just think it's so personal for you. For me, I just say, like mindset wise, you have to keep that perspective. Like, yeah, they're losing that game. They're probably not coming back. Why would you burn out a bullpen that's already going to get just burned through the rest of the year? Like, you know, like, yeah, you don't want to see him laughing. You don't want to see him having a good time because it's close. You're not going to be complaining about any of this if they win the division, but you're the guy who says they're not going to win the division.
They're only a half game up, and they lost tonight, and the Dodgers and Brewers are underway at Dodger Stadium.
Yeah,
right,
it's going to go back and forth the whole year.
And by the way, Chris Archer now is a Pittsburgh Pirate. So the Pirates got better, not worse.
Right, but they
the
have
Brewers
to get back
got
into
better,
picture.
Not worse.
The Pirates don't matter. The Brewers matter.
Well, I don't, if you're within five games on August 1st, you matter. I think you matter. And granted, they're now within six after they beat the Cubs tonight. So I think the Pirates matter. I do. And if they don't win this year, they're going to be much better next year than they are this year.
Yeah.
So I think that matters. I think Milwaukee's a better baseball team. I don't know. I just wouldn't put this division to bed. Anyway, I hate position players pitching. It just, it's not my favorite thing. If you're the Mets, okay, great. You're terrible. You're going nowhere. Jose Reyes won't be on your team next year. So if he tears his UCL, great. Who cares? Right? Like, it just doesn't matter. Anthony Rizzo should never pitch for the Cubs. That guy gets hurt, and all of a sudden, we're in a rebuilding mode. Chris Bryant's already on the disabled list with this left shoulder thing. I just don't want to see it. I don't want to see it. And then there's the Houston Astros. The Houston Astros traded for Roberto Osuna, who is serving a 75-game suspension and is just about done with that. Because according to reports, and the pictures are circulating, you can go find him in the Canadian press, he savagely abused his girlfriend. And he got this 75-game suspension from baseball. He hasn't even been through the criminal system yet. Like, tomorrow is his first court appearance. What on earth are the Astros doing?
Don't know.
I have no idea why you think this is okay, especially if you remember when an Astros pitching prospect drug a girl down a stairwell, on video. And Justin Verlander came out and ripped that guy and said, enjoy never pitching in professional baseball again. And Justin Verlander is asked about picking up Roberto Osuna and says, well, I'll stand by my comments. You know, it's like, I don't understand this at all. Because you already had a solid bullpen, one of the better pens in baseball. You have a solid rotation. Why would you screw with this?
I don't know. I don't know, and why you would get under the skin of Justin Verlander, I'm not sure.
I am it's amazed
dumb.
By this.
It's dumb. Like,
right?
I don't know. It makes zero sense.
This is a really good baseball team in the Dodgers. If you wanted to go get Dozier because your two middle infielders are damaged, okay, I get that. Correa and Altuve are hurt. Okay, you need an infielder, great, go do it. But a closer? So essentially, the story is that Ken Giles, who had been the closer of the Astros, melted down, F-bombed his manager, they DFA'd him, and now they traded him. And you traded him, and you brought Roberto Osuna in, who I'm not sure will ever pitch for them. I think there is, because he is supposedly going to meet with the team before the game tomorrow. He'll meet with the Astros and try to explain himself and... Because is he supposed to apologize to them? I don't think so. What is he apologizing to the Astros for?
I don't know.
You know, I mean, they went out of their way. They selected Roberto Osuna, who's serving a 75-game suspension for domestic violence.
Yeah.
Has not been through the judicial system yet. And you went out and said, yeah, I want that guy on my team.
Especially on the heels of Verlander and his comments.
It's amazing.
No sense. I don't know, man.
It makes
absolutely
no sense.
That's the bonehead move of the trade deadline. Like, it just says.
The risk involved in that. Now, my guess is that Astro team doesn't really care what their general manager wants them to do. They've accomplished all you can in baseball. Won a World Series. Completely rebuilt. Like, they are one of the best stories in baseball. If that guy comes in that locker room and they don't want him there, he won't be there. He won't be there. When he is fully able to come off of this suspension, he's down to like days on the suspension, I think. He's been doing a rehab assignment. He was allowed to start a rehab assignment before the suspension ended. So he's been doing that, and now he's got to go back to Toronto for this court date tomorrow. And I'm just like, man.
No, why do we need it? You don't need it.
I just don't know what you're
doing. I'd rather have Ken Giles.
You know, this is the problem with baseball is you have, you know, the Trey Turner saying, you know, that I'm truly sorry for those, because Trey Turner got outed. Truly sorry for that. By the way, have we figured out what the positive in outing these guys is?
No.
I truly think it's just for sport at this point.
Yeah.
I mean,
there's not another reason to write it off as. Like, there's no financial reward. There's no fame in it. Like, there's not. I don't know what the incentive is.
I don't either. I don't know what the incentive for the Lakers to change their purple jersey was. Because as a casual observer of the LA Lakers, man, I hate that jersey. So today, in one of the worst kept secrets ever, the Lakers revealed their new uniforms. And I think we all knew that the gold and white was coming, and it was going to go back to the Showtime era Lakers script and numbers with the drop shadows, and which, by the way, they should have never left those in the past anyway. But we saw those images, I mean, weeks ago.
Yeah.
We didn't see the purple jersey with the black side panel on it, and it is terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, it is. How do you screw up an iconic uniform? Like, this was a no-brainer. How do you screw this up? Follow me on Twitter, The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. All the images are on my Twitter feed. And it was a great day for releases. Like, we got two huge shoe releases coming up now. We saw what the LeBron 16 is going to look like. Oh, my good gracious, I love that shoe. Love what the images of that shoe are. We got the Hyperdunk 10. White it out. Love that shoe. And then we get the purple Laker jersey. Hate that thing. Yeah. Would never even consider. I'm too old to wear a jersey. I'm 45 years old. Come on. Am I really strapping on a jersey? No, I'm not. Not doing it.
Right.
Right? I used to be jersey guy. I'm no longer. Like, I'm a fully functioning adult now, so I can't do that. You, as a medium-wearing millennial, you absolutely could wear one of these terrible purple jerseys if right. you chose to. And then, today about 5 o'clock Pacific time, I'm flipping through Twitter, just getting ready for the last topics on the show, and, oh, I see the tweet from Jeannie Buss from the Lakers shop, where the line is out the door, and they're already sold out of the gold. And the purple is outselling the white. And I'm like, what? Who? Like, don't you have a friend who will say, yeah, purple's bad decision. Don't wear the purple. No, don't do it.
I think the white is clean.
The white is fresh.
Yeah.
Oh, it's nice.
Yeah.
Would you buy a LeBron Laker jersey?
Probably not, but I'm not
here. Even after he opened the school in Akron yesterday and everybody universally revealed that he's an awesome human being, you still wouldn't wear the white LeBron jersey?
No.
What'd you make of that school thing? Because I thought it was awesome. There's no way to knock it. There's nothing really negative you can say.
I mean, it's a great job by him. I mean, it's a great thing. It's a great program. I think it's super smart.
Did you hear the things they're doing, though? Like, there's a food bank there for the parents of the kids. So nobody pays to go to school there.
Yeah.
Right? They're paying the college tuition of everybody who graduates.
Yeah, in the area's colleges.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're providing college education. They're targeting low income. And they're providing food for the families. You can drop your kids off at school at LeBron's new school, and then you can pick up a bag of food to feed your family. Just unbelievable. They're providing free transportation within 2 miles. All the kids get a free bike because LeBron used to ride his bike. Like, I mean, how do you not? This guy's unbelievable. What are you doing? Like, nobody does this well. Nobody does this well. Who's ever done this before?
Yeah.
That amazes me.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great job by him. I mean, he's being a leader. This is what we always talk about.
I love it.
Like, you're using your platform as an NBA basketball player, and honestly, he's using his story to influence the future now.
He is picking up his community. He is improving his community. He is invested in the future of kids in Akron, Ohio, not Los Angeles, not Compton, not South Central, in Akron, Ohio. So he doesn't have to play for the Cavs to be invested in kids in the community. Because that was the narrative. I just think it's fantastic. I love it. By the way, one other LeBron story that I think is really interesting. he now regrets naming his son LeBron Jr. And he says the pressure, the taunting, the comments, because I think we talked about this on the show Friday. LeBron almost got into a fight at his son's tournament game, and they had to forfeit the game. The game was canceled, rather. I don't know that they forfeited. The game was canceled because a fan started heckling and yelling and screaming at LeBron, and it caused a huge scene.
Yeah.
Because LeBron was at his son. His name's Bronny, the kid. LeBron, Bronny, was at Bronny's tournament game, which, by the way, they came back over the past weekend and won that national championship. There's just a lot of pressure in being Michael Jordan's son, in being LeBron's kid, and being Dwayne Wade's kid, and being Shaquille O'Neal, Shaq's kid.
Yeah.
Would you want, I mean, I don't even know if it would you want to be, because the first thing everybody says is, well, yeah, I'd want to be LeBron's kid, free shoes and tons of money. But there's a lot of expectations that come with that. I mean, I think you could probably deal with that.
Yeah.
But I thought, I don't know what it is about LeBron. And the thing that bothers me, and I admit I listened to way too much Colin Cowherd. I actually turned off Colin today. Because, again, he went with the, this is why LeBron's better than Michael Jordan take. And I just want to strangle him. Because there's no comparing LeBron to Jordan. Stop doing that. LeBron James is something we've never seen before. Because of his wealth and the money that he has been able to generate with his brand, he has the ability to do things, and now he's actually doing them. And he's not doing it when he retired. LeBron James is doing this in his prime. By the way, he said today, he told Rachel Nichols on ESPN, I'm nowhere near the end of my prime. So he intends to stay in Los Angeles, and he intends to win a lot.
Yeah, I mean, that's great. You intend to win a lot, but, you know, you can say you're still in your prime and whatever. Play till you're 50, and then I'll believe it.
Well, what is 50? Who plays till they're 50?
Well, he's saying he's still in his prime at, what, 35?
No, you know? He's not there. He's got, in my opinion, he's got two more years in his prime. And I love
it's you. An outlandish thing to say you're still in your prime.
He is. He's only, what is he, 32? Okay, now I got to look it up. I think he's 32, LeBron James. He is in his prime. He had the best season he's ever had last year.
But that doesn't mean he's still in his prime. There's a difference there. Just because you had the best statistical season of your career doesn't mean you're in your prime. Your prime physically is not when you're 32.
He played 82 games. He's 33 years old, excuse me. Played 82
games
last year.
There's no chance you're still in your prime. Like,
but tell me why.
Because from the health, like body wellness side of the conversation.
He spends $2 million a year, $1.9 million, on conditioning his body. And he had, by all accounts, and it wasn't his best year scoring, it was one of them. But if you look at his numbers from last year, I mean, he played 82 games. That's a career high. You know, like he played 37 minutes a night. He is, you know, I just don't know what there is to complain about. The guy is shooting 37% from three, which for a forward is pretty good. And I'm like, he's everything you want. It's everything. I wish he shot free throws better.
Yeah.
I do.
I mean, that's still, yeah, I get
scoring
what you're
28
saying.
Points a game? Like, yeah. How, like, what did you see last year that says he's not still in his prime?
Because it's, you're going off stats. I'm not going off stats.
I'm going off what I see. I've never seen anybody, and again, because everybody makes a comparison, I grew up watching Michael Jordan in the playoffs, right? I covered Shaq and Kobe in their primes in LA. I've never seen anybody do what he did last year. You just, the ball was going in whether you wanted it to or not.
Mm-hmm.
Until the J.R. Smith thing, I thought they had a chance to win the championship.
Right.
You know, there's nothing that I saw with my own two eyes, and I don't care what the piece of paper says, that he's 33 years old. I don't care. I agree. He's still in his prime. Now, that might come to a screeching halt in next April, because that team, I think, is going to be okay to start. They'll be much better in the second half next year, excuse me. Because they got a bunch of older players now, and older players don't play well in the first half. They play better in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
But it could come to a screeching halt. Maybe they miss the playoffs. If a LeBron-led team misses the playoffs, then I'll say he's not in his prime anymore.
Okay.
But until then, I think he's magnificent. He is not nearly as magnificent as Tom Cruise is. Because Tommy's still in his prime.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Scientology made a film called Mission Impossible Fallout. You and I spent Saturday evening, I believe it was, cuddled up in a movie theater.
Right.
Well, we didn't really cuddle. They had those reclining seats, so you sit like close to each other. Anyway, I felt like we bonded.
Right.
Anyway, point is, we actually hung out and saw Fallout, Mission Impossible Fallout. Grade it 1 to 10.
Probably an 8. That's what I said after the movie. I still agree with it. I don't think it... I mean, it's everything you want out of a Mission Impossible. That's for sure. I mean, I thought... I loved that BMW bought the movie. I thought they did a great job with that. I thought
motorcycles and...
Motorcycle, the older BMW model, the new M5. Like, it was awesome.
That Tom Cruise learned to fly the helicopters in Mission Impossible Fallout in 6 weeks is amazing. That he did all his own stunts and almost killed himself in that movie. He legitimately almost killed himself in that movie on that building jump scene. That's amazing. The motorcycle scene, I found out today, the motorcycle scene, the chase scene through Paris, it was cold and the cobblestone was wet because it had been raining. And Tom Cruise is not wearing a helmet. And there's a driving sequence in there where he is driving through traffic in the wrong direction in a traffic circle. And they were, the directors and the crew were terrified that he was going to get killed because the cobblestones were wet and damp. He's on a powerful BMW motorcycle going like 50 miles an hour through all this traffic. It's amazing. I think it is one of the best performances of Tom Cruise's career.
Yeah, I mean, he did a great job.
The plot swings, the story arc, the script, I thought it was all really good. I don't think there's any doubt, and you and I now together have seen all of the Mission Impossibles together. Yeah. I don't think there's any doubt this is the best one. I think this is right there with any of the Bond films that I've, especially the Daniel Craig Bond films. I think this movie's very competitive with all of those. I really enjoyed it.
And can they really compare Mission Impossible and Bond?
Oh, I think he absolutely can. They're both special agents. Ethan Hunt and James Bond are both government special agents. One for the Brits, one for the Americans. I think they're very compared. The story arcs are always the same.
I
get that
they're comparable. I don't know. The movies just feel kind of different to me, like James Bond, the way he goes about stuff versus Ethan Hunt. Ethan Hunt is just always on the edge, always has to go and get it. Like, James Bond is more of like a swag, like kind of finesse kind of guy.
He is lethal weapon.
Yeah.
He is a, James Bond is a killing machine. Ethan Hunt is an espionage extraordinaire,
right.
An operative extraordinaire. I just love it. I absolutely love it. I think the difference between MI6 and IMF is not that much. I love them both. I love Daniel Craig as James Bond, and I hope they make another Mission Impossible.
Yeah,
I do.
The
plot twists, and there's a lot of people who listen to the show who haven't seen it. I know because our Twitter, I've had conversations about it, but the plot twists, the way that the movie ends, extraordinary. Now, can I say the same thing about Succession on HBO? I don't know. We had an episode Sunday night that was, I'm not going to say underwhelming.
I thought it was good. I mean, it's just not the caliber of show like the best shows are, but it's still a good
show.
Sure,
it's not. It's supposed to be a companion show to Billions.
It's
They're
not
supposed
even close
to be very
to Billions.
Similar.
It's not even close.
It's not even close.
And they're not even this. Even that we're talking AAA versus Major League Baseball. It's not
yeah,
close.
But Succession is the first two episodes were slow. Then it really picked up in the middle, and then this last one for me drug a little bit. Now the season finale is set up for next week. And you have this whole plot line where Kendall's trying to orchestrate a hostile takeover, and you don't know if he's going to make it. It certainly seems like he never makes it happen, and you've got this whole storyline with the cruise line sexual assault, and Shiv now knows that, and you've got this weird Roman wanting to launch a rocket thing, and you've got Greg the Egg, who knows everything and knows that Shiv is cheating on her fiance, and all of this is going to take place at their wedding.
Yeah. It's awesome.
And then there's the theme song, Jake.
Yeah, I mean, the theme song is easily one of the best parts of the show. I mean, it's easily one of the best theme songs on, you know, on TV, in my opinion.
But the real question is, is it nearly as good as our theme song? I don't know if it is. What's the name of this song?
Defenses by Gravity.
Yeah. It's not nearly as good as Defenses by Gravity. Make sure you find us on the iHeartRadio app, Twitter, anywhere you get your podcasts, The Monty Show. M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. Until tomorrow, say goodbye, Jake.
Goodbye, Jake.